Welcome students, so let's begin with the next chapter, that's chapter 13 on risk analysis. Let's understand the objectives. In this chapter, we are going to cover the utility theory and risk aversion theory. We'll just give you a basic idea about what this theory is, how the company managers needs to make decisions under uncertainty, a very small glimpse of decision making, uncertainty, risk aversion, getting acknowledged with these terms. And then we will move to a very important part of risk analysis, which is capital budgets. So how the capital budgets, what capital budgets are, purely theoretical. Evaluation of the projects, like what are the methods for selecting a project. And finally, once the capital budgeting process and the project starts, how to audit the capital budgets. So what is post-auditing of capital budgets? So let's understand a purely theoretical chapter with a little application. We move ahead to our next slide where we introduce you to this topic of risk analysis. Now, whenever we talk about risk, uncertainty, we already know that the business is working with in a very uncertain environment. The macro environment, the micro environment, both are uncertain. Managers have to take day-to-day decisions based on these conditions of uncertainty, which poses risk to them. But at the same time, there are many decisions which are taken with a lot of certainty also. So before we go ahead into this chapter, let's understand these terms and these concepts. We start here first with what certainty is about. So when we talk about certainty, certainty refers to a situation where there is only one possible outcome to a decision. Okay, so when you know that whatever decision you are taking, there's only one and one possible outcome of that decision, then we say you are certain about your decision. Like, you know that if you do not report to office at a given time, you will be marked absent for that day. You are very certain and you are very precise about that. We have given you an example, like while investing in any financial instrument, there is one and only one outcome, that is the amount of returns. So when you are investing in any bonds or any mutual funds, we say that they are subject to certainty. So whenever there is certainty, the risk factor minimizes, right? Let's move ahead. Risk. Now what is risk? Risk always refers to a situation in which there is more than one possible outcome to a decision. So when you are not sure of what would be the actual decision outcome, we say you are posing a risk. Okay, the probability of any outcome is not known. So risk is where the firm, once it introduces a product in the market, it is not certain whether the product will hit the market or will it be a failure. So this is a risk. We have given you a very famous example of tossing a coin. So what is the probability? Most of the students who are from statistics background might have done lots of problem solving on probability. So similar, risk is a part of probability. Like tossing a coin, will it be a head or will it be a tail? See, there is always a 50-50 equal chance of either it would be a head or a tail, right? But you don't know because you're not certain. So that's a risk. Coming to uncertainty. So after understanding certainty and risk, now we introduce you to uncertainty. Uncertainty is a case where there is more than one possible outcome to any decision. Now, where the probability of each specific outcome is unknown, right? Because we don't have any data. Like for example, a company which is very new and it makes a very new investment in the business. It is not certain whether the investment, what they have done and the project and the product that they are introducing, will it be a success or a failure? So it's similar to, actually, because there is uncertainty, we say there is risk. So risk and uncertainty always go hand in hand. We have given you one example over here for uncertainty. It's about drilling of oil in an unproven field, which carries with it uncertainty. As the investor does not himself knows about the possible oil output or the probability of occurrence. Mining, drilling, so any unknown area when it is being explored, what would be the outcome is uncertain. And wherever there is uncertainty, there is risk. Okay? So students, you are familiar with the terms of certainty, risk and uncertainty. Now business has both. Business have both certain and uncertain situations under which the decisions are being undertaken and policies are being framed. We will introduce here to something called as utility theory and risk aversion. Now here this theory explains us that managers, they are always facing this uncertainty and risk. So what type of utility theory of economics can be applied over here? Here we are giving you an example that suppose if the managers are given different alternative projects. We have taken two alternative projects, okay? And both these projects have equal, what you say, equal expected value of profit. So equal expected value of profit, which means that both the projects will give them same profit. But the risk of both the project is different. Correct? So when there are two projects giving the same profit level but with different risk, then what should be the manager's decision making? Generally, the manager will prefer the less risky project because obviously you are certain about the equal profit. You are certain that there is a profit but it's equal. So the better option is to go for a project which is less risky. Now, in such a situation, when we observe the behavior of the manager, we classify them into three categories called risk seekers, risk neutral, and risk averters. Now, risk seekers. Who are risk seekers? In uncertainty, risk seekers are the ones who will always try to go for the minimum risk. Okay? I'll just take you back once again to make you familiar with this. If you want, we'll get clear with these terms now only. Let's take risk seeker. Now, risk seeker is the manager who will always look at the outcome of any situation and try to go for, let's say, to invest or not to invest. Okay? If they invest, they get a profit of, let's say, 20,000. But they're also making a loss of 10,000. Now, a risk seeker will always prefer to select where there is a profit. They'll go for something where there is a profit. Whereas when you talk about a risk aversion, in risk aversion, the manager will try to avoid the risk. They'll always look at the zero outcome. They'll always see where there the loss is, you know, the minimized. So we'll just check again. Now there are three classifications of managers: risk seeker, risk neutral, and risk averters. We'll first start with the risk, like as I said, looking at any project. What is the positive outcome of the project? Now here we'll take the last one first, the risk averters. Now in this is the case of the managers for whom the marginal utility of money is always diminishing. When we say marginal utility of money is diminishing, here let's say tossing a coin. Suppose there is a bet of tossing a coin. Now if there is head, tossing coin karte vakt agar head pe upar aata hai, to the win, you will win, let's say you'll win 10,000. But if there is a tail, then you will lose 10,000. So agar head aaya, if you get a head tossing the coin, if the coin turns head up, okay, head is turned up, it's a profit, 10,000. But if it is a tail, then it is a loss of 10,000. Now, what is the expected value of money over here? The expected value of money will be what? You have to calculate it. It is 50-50%. Because if it is head, you win 10,000. If it is tail, you lose 10,000. So there's a 50-50% chance of winning as well as losing. Now, in this case, what will happen? We will see what is this 50%. So we'll find out the expected, what you say, the value, the expected utility of money. It is called as the expected value of money. So in this case, if our answer is zero, the risk averter manager would look at the loss. He will say, if I lose, it will be 10,000 ka loss. If I win, it will be 10,000. But in risk averter cases, they are always looking at the loss more than the profit, than the gain. And therefore, they will refuse to play this bet. Okay. Similarly, any project, to accept a project or to not accept the project, will totally depend on finding this utility function of money. Utility function mein hum gain aur loss dono ko compare karte. But risk averter managers will more focus on the loss. But risk seeker, so when you talk about risk seeker and risk neutral, these are the people who will more look at the gain rather than looking at the loss. So what this utility theory is trying to make you understand is that if the risk aversion, if the approach of the manager is of a risk aversion, then they will always make decisions based on the loss. What is the loss that they are ready to bear? And on that basis, they will make the decision. Whereas in risk seeker and risk neutral cases, they will more look at the gain and accordingly make the decision of accepting the project or rejecting a project. Correct? So they will always look at the positive monetary gain. Risk averters will always look at the negative side of this monetary loss. So they will be more loss focused, and they will be more the gain or the profit focused for making their decision. Now, under uncertainty, we already know what. Now, see, tossing the coin, like I took the example, usme head aayega kya tail, it's uncertain. So how the decision is taken that time? Uncertainty is what? We have already discussed, where there is more than one possible outcome, right? Profit hoga ya loss hoga. A project is introduced, a new product is introduced. So wo product either market mein success hoga ya market mein fail hoga. Two possible outcomes. But you are uncertain. You don't know what. So uncertainty is a very subjective concept. Okay, and whenever there is high level of uncertainty, then there are two main principles. We say that for any decision making, there are two criteria which the utility theory or the risk aversion theory is trying to revolve around, and that is maximin criterion and minimax regret. We are not going to more focus on the minimax regret, but more on the maximin criterion. Let's understand what it is. In this maximin criterion, we are giving you the different, you can say, we have given you a matrix over here. In this matrix, you can see there are two strategies. We have two columns, we have four columns, and we have two rows. The first row is invest. Second row says no, not to invest. So now the matrix, the strategy is whether to invest or whether not to invest. Now, what would be the decision of the manager? Suppose if the manager decides to invest, then the gain, okay, if the project hits the market, if it's a success, then the gain is 20,000. But if it is a failure, then the loss is 10,000. Correct? So if gain is 20,000, loss is 10,000. And then accordingly, we try to calculate the minimax. Okay? But if the decision is not to invest, then there is no success or failure, because you are not investing only. So the chance of success and failure becomes zero. Now, to understand that, okay, we'll go back once again here. To understand, we'll have to use this theory. In this theory, we'll have to do a small calculation of how do we calculate the gain as well as the loss. Now, in this case, what you will do is, because here you will see that the gain is 20,000. Okay. So, we minus this 20,000, may say we minus 10,000. So, what is the loss? If you gain 20,000, if you invest and the product is a success, your gain is 20,000. But if it is a failure, the loss is 10,000, right? So what is the total loss that you are getting is 10,000. The risk averter. Now, what would the risk averter do? The risk averter manager will decide not to invest. Because in maximini criterion, out of the worst, you will select the best. So if you look at the worst situation, the worst is if you invest, you are losing 10,000. If you do not invest, you have nothing to lose. So out of the two, if you look at this last, you look at this last column, these are considered as two worst situation. Because if you invest and you lose, your loss is 10,000. If you do not invest, you have nothing to lose, but you also have nothing to gain. So out of the two, which is considered as the best of the worst? So best of the worst will be zero, not to invest. Clear? So this was a very basic idea of risk aversion and maximini criterion, that in risk aversion and maximini criterion, out of the worst situation, you have to select jisme aapka loss sabse minimum hai. So best of the worst hum kya bolte hai, jahan par loss hai, lekin loss mein se jo minimum loss wala criteria hai, hume us strategy ko select karna hai. So here the strategy to be selected will be not to invest, and you will say that this approach is a risk averter approach, okay, using the utility criterion. After understanding this small part of the theory, we are moving to a theoretical topic called capital budgeting. Now, with all these uncertainties and risk behavior, which is a very subjective, we are moving to a company when it is taking a project, which is a long-term planning and project. So how does the company starts working on such a project? That brings us to capital budgeting. Capital budgeting is purely based on a very traditional economic theory, which rests on the principle which you have studied before, that the marginal cost of any project should be connected or correlated with the marginal revenue of any project. Marginal cost matlab every additional effort that the company is making to undertake the project, and every additional income that the company will earn from the project. They are always doing a comparison of that. Actually, students, capital budgeting is basically planning. It is all about allocating the resources, okay, and trying to frame a budget of how much time, material and money, manpower, material will be used in the entire project, of course with a time duration. Capital budgeting is like a blueprint before undertaking the project. And that takes us to nature. So the nature of entire capital budgeting revolves around three basic questions. The three basic questions are, how much money will be needed for expenditure in the upcoming period? As I said, funds. So when a company has to undertake a project, let's talk about building up a infrastructure project. Like for example, if you have this Worli C-Link, maybe building up a C-Link or the metro project, then how much money will be needed, the expenditure in the entire duration of the project? From where would this, what would be the source of capital, the working capital? So how much money will be available and at what cost? Because here there is an interest. If it is borrowed from the banks, if the money is taken from the share, then what would be the amount, what would be the cost, and how should the available money be distributed? So the entire capital budgeting revolves around basically fund management, sources of acquiring fund, and allocation of funds in the entire project needs to be properly planned. When we talk about the first question, where we are talking about that what would be the cost of the project, back how much money will be needed. So when you see how much money, first question revolves around the demand for capital. When we talk about the demand for capital, it is purely governed by the profit principle. The firm has to look at various opportunities of investment, because the demand for capital is how much money will the project require and what would be the returns coming from the project. Is the project profitable? Is it worth investing so much in the project? Whereas the second and the third questions are revolving around supply. So nature of capital budgeting is nothing but the demand for capital and the supply of capital. Supply of capital, as we said, how much money will be available and at what cost? Very important. If it's a borrowed money, then what would be the interest that the firm or the company would be paying? At what cost would be the acquiring the capital? And then how will this entire money, like in the form of working capital, will be allocated in the project? So the supply side covers three aspects. When we look at the supply will be how much can we raise, whether the company is going to acquire this from within its internally, depreciation or retained earnings. If it is moving to outward agencies, then which would be those agencies? What would be the cost at which they would be acquiring this capital? So as you see that the third question, which is focusing on how should the available money be distributed among the various projects? This was our third question. It talks about rationing of funds. As I said, allocation of funds. How much should be spent in all and where? So if I take you back again, the nature of capital budgeting revolves around the supply and demand for capital. Okay, the demand for capital is purely based on what would be the how much funds, how much would be the cost of the project. Yes, taking you back here, see how much money will be needed, correct? And how much money will be available at what cost? And how are you going to use this available money among the various projects? So basically, the demand for capital totally is governed by the profitability of the project, whereas the supply of the project is purely focusing on how the money will be raised, what are the sources of acquiring capital and what is the cost, and how these funds will be allocated in the entire project. So this is the same thing, students. I have just summarized it, that the nature of capital budgeting is how much is required and how much is available at what cost and how much is to be spent and where. So you can say that capital budget revolves around these three major areas: capital demand, capital supply, and rationing of funds. We'll go further now. We will pick up the demand for capital. Now, once we study the demand for capital, what is done over here is the various projects that the company is looking for as investment avenues, it will arrange these projects in descending order. Now, descending order ka matlab hai project which gives the highest return, and then the projects with the least return. So the projects are arranged according to the estimated rate of return. Correct? So how much is the cost and what will be, but because we are talking of demand, so we are only looking at the returns. Okay, it is said that while making a decision, the project profitability will always be based on how much is the cost and what is the revenue. Ye toh already you know that whenever you are comparing the revenue and cost structure, you are purely looking at the profitability. The two main sources from where capital can be acquired are internal and external. Internal may the company does not have to bear too high cost because it is purely its retained earnings or profits. The problem is when the company goes for external, because here the company is issuing shares, so definitely the profit has to be given to the shareholders. Okay, they may go for borrowings from the banks. They can borrow it from, financial institutions, or sometimes interfirms are also found to be a part of supply of capital. But the cost of the capital is very, very important when they talk about supply. Cost of capital is the rate which must be paid to obtain funds. Correct? And different costs exist for capital. So if you have equity, if the money is raised from equity, then the cost will be different. Preference shares, retained earnings, debt, all this needs to be worked out in the capital budgeting. What is the cost from which particular source of capital? And the least cost would be picked up first. So when we talk about supply of capital and cost of capital, government decisions play a very major role because interest structures keep changing. The government's reserve requirement, like lending, changes. Okay, the investor's psychology also has an influence on the cost of capital. So you can see that there's a lot of process and lot of factors which go into just preparing or selecting the best source of acquiring capital. So once this all needs to be worked out and finalized, the company decides that, okay, this would be the source of funding, or this is from where we'll acquire capital, coming to selection of the project. Selection of the project is also called as the finding the profitability of the project. This is considered as one of the most important part of capital budgeting, measuring the project profitability. Well, there are three mathematical methods or calculations on which the project profitability can be tested. You can see in this slide, it is payback period method, discounted present value, and internal rate of return. So there are three main criteria which are given over here: payback period, discounted present value, and internal rate of return. Okay, so let's understand this. We'll go to the first, payback period. When you talk about the payback period method, there's a very simple formula over here. In payback period method, we will look at the initial investment outlay and divide it with the annual cash flow. So initial investment outlay, when you divide with annual cash flow, we get the simple payback period. In this payback period, what happens is you have to only select the project which has the minimum payback period. Now look here, students, we have given you an example. Suppose we have a project where the cost of the project is 1 lakh and it is giving an annual cash flow of 25,000. Now this is, we have kept here the annual cash flow constant. So annual cash flow ko constant rakha hai 25,000 pe. What will you do? Just substitute it in the formula. So 1 lakh divided by 25,000, what answer you get? 4 years. So when you talk about 4 years, in 4 years you are getting this project. 1 lakh is covered in 4 years. So what is the payback period? 4 years. Suppose, students, I write here 50,000. Annual cash flow is 50,000. Then what would be the returns? Yeah. 2 years, right? So which would be selected? Definitely the one with the minimum payback period. The merits of this payback period is that it's very simple and easy to calculate. It always focuses on liquidity, because the faster you recover the money that you have invested, you are more on the safer side and meeting the liquidity requirements. Liquidity requirement is cash. And it's always favoring less risky projects. So like, payback period method has merits, it also has many demerits. Now looking at the demerits, this method totally ignores profitability, because we are not at all considering profits over here. We are only looking at minimum payback period method. So liquidity is given more importance than profitability. We are purely, this method is based on assuming that there is a constant cash flow. So the cash flow is going to remain constant over a long period of time. So it's assuming that if it's a 20,000 annual cash flow, it's going to remain 20,000 for a long period. It does not give importance to time value of money. Like the money that is going to be recovered after 4 years, the value of that money after 4 years will not be the same as it is today. And cash flow after the payback is ignored. So you've come to know that payback period method, though it is very simple and easy to calculate, it does have certain limitations. Hence, let's look at the next method. The second method, which is a very, very popular method, is called as the discounted present value method. Now, this method is considered as an improved method over the limitation of payback period method. See, what was the limitation? That we were ignoring profitability and we were ignoring the time value of money, right? That problem is resolved here. Because here, we try to take into consideration the time value of money. The formula over here is R1 upon 1 plus I. I stands for rate of interest. R stands for the cash flow in year 1. Similarly, R2, R3, and it can go on to Rn. So if there's any project which has a returns, okay, let's say a project which has a return of, let's say, there's a project where you are spending, investing 20,000. Okay, 20,000 is the initial investment of the project, or we'll take the same, we can take the same thing here, the same sum you can pick up. 1 lakh. 1 lakh is the cost, and every year the payback period is 25,000 for 4 years. Take the same sum. Now what you know that the 1 lakh is the investment of the project, right? And your annual cash flow is 25,000 for 4 years. But this, you are paying an interest. So the market rate of interest is 10%. So 10% of 25,000, how much it comes to? Yes? Calculate it. So you will put that R1 upon 1 plus 10. Now 10% ka you are going to write here, students, 0.01. So it will be 25,000 upon 1 plus 0.01. R2, again you will write 25,000 upon 1 plus 0.01 square, but it's a square. So in this way you can do it for 4 years, calculate, and if your answer, the answer that you get, okay, if the answer, that is the discounted present value, is greater than your project cost, if it is more than 1 lakh, because 1 lakh is the project cost, after using this formula, if your project DPV value is greater than your project cost, then we say that the project is worthwhile. So a project profitability is purely based on discounted present value. And only if the DPV value is more than the project cost, the project gets selected. The third method, which is an even powerful method, which uses the project profitability, expected project profitability in percentage, is called as internal rate of return. Now, students have to remember that in internal rate of return, we have to select the project profitability and compare it with the market rate of interest. It's a very complex process. We are not doing calculation over here. So we are purely going by a basic understanding of the formula. Here, R1, R2, Rn, it's the same. That is the expected return. Okay. But instead of I, we are using E. Now, E stands for the expected return. We say it is the marginal efficiency of capital. Students, marginal efficiency of capital is the project profitability. So, whether the project is giving a 2% profit, a 3% profit, what is the market rate of interest in that year? So, you have to basically keep looking for the project returns, the project profitability, and compare with the market rate of interest. And in any given time period, if the project profitability rate is greater than the market rate of interest, then the project is considered to be worthwhile. Using so much, so you can see before a project has to be undertaken, there's a huge process of preparation of these capital budget reports by the departments or in a business organization. And after all this, when the project is selected, the project is started and completed, even after completion of the project, there is a requirement of post audit. Again, post audit is considered as an essential function of a capital budget process, because here the actual results are being compared with what was predicted. This is called as an analysis. To know what has been the lapses, if the project has got delayed or if the project cost has increased, so that it becomes as a you can say as a case on which, if there are any delays, then what were those, as such conditions or such situations can be avoided in the next project. So every project which is based on capital budget needs to have a post audit for finding the success and failure of the entire project. So as I said, it's explained here, the post audit, it analyzes, it helps in identifying the very deficiencies or flaws in decision making so that they can be corrected in the future proposals. So we say that every capital budgeting has to be done before the project planning has to start. Because in project, there's a long-term investment and there's a huge amount of money that is invested. So without a capital budget report, it would be a pure risk of undertaking huge projects. These are some of the features of project planning. Every capital budgeting and project planning plays a very important role. Okay. Every project planning helps the company to determine its financial outlay. They can decide what is the total amount of money, estimated money that will go in the project. They can also work on the time, the technical, financial dimensions. Okay. What would be the time duration? Okay. And what would be the income returns from a project? There are various stages which come under project planning. Like first stage talks about identifying the investment opportunities. So before a project has to be started and the capital budget reports to be prepared, first thing is to identify the investment areas. Today, when you talk about multinational companies or any foreign company who wants to invest in India, they are definitely going to start first with identifying the investment opportunities. Basically R&D, market research. Then how the resources will be assembled. So especially when we have foreign direct investment coming in India, we look at India as a highly investment opportunity field for foreign investors, but they have to also look for the resources. Because when a company is investing in India, though the financial, the capital is financed by the company, but the resources that would be used, the human resources, will be from the home country. So what are the laws? What are the labor laws? Okay, what are the working hours? Okay, all these needs to be worked out in project planning. Making the optimum use of resources, that's very, very important. So optimum use of the resources would be not just the land area or not just the human resource, but also the raw material. Estimating the yield, as we have already learned, every project, the income returns. Like if a new product is launched, then what is the minimum time that is required to get the sales proceeds from the market? That time needs to be estimated. And then the project has to be selected on the basis of the investment worth, that is project profitability. The less risky and the high profitability project will always be ranked first. These are all the stages which we have already discussed just now, the same thing. Okay, once it's done, the project will be decided, it will be implemented, and there will be a project appraisal and there will be a conduct of performance review. So the entire project planning and capital budgeting can be put into a summarized form: decide the project, implement the project, go for project appraisal, and finally go for conduct performance review. I think companies can use this very, very well when they have to rate their employees with respect to a project. That how the people who are working, the team which was working for the project, has performed. So this plays a very important role, especially for promotions and for any type of incentives that needs to be given to the human resources who are involved in the project. So with that, we have successfully completed this chapter of risk analysis and capital budgeting. Thank you.